This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Open the eyes of our heart, Lord Christ, that we might continue to look to you and be saved. Amen. God's people were impatient and spoke against the Lord. This wilderness is dried out and we detest the food. We can't find any water, and so we ask you why. Just to be clear, this is not a preview of coming attractions for our mission team. We hope and pray with you today that it is quite the opposite experience you will have. John 3:16, the most oft quoted line of all the scriptures. We had in our first week of our 40 days in the Word this idea of looking at the scriptures word by word and examining the meaning of that word that Rev. Wendy did such a great job of taking it through with the gospel of that week. But those of you who have been around here at St. Joseph's for a while might recall when we did the same thing with this passage, John 3:16. We took Max Lucado's series by that name, and each week we looked at a different word or phrase of that. If you weren't with us at that time and would like to do it, we do have the materials in the office. We could also take this gospel and use our imagination with it, which was the theme of last week for 40 days in the Word, of where we would read the story and then just imagine ourselves within it. But I would caution you when you try to do this with some of our lectionary readings that we don't get the whole story. If you would choose to do this, I would suggest you go back to John 3, verse 1, and read the entire story of this encounter between Jesus and Nicodemus. And it, as well, could still be quite powerful. But today I want to concentrate with this particular gospel, with the approach we are given this week, about probing the text, about throwing all these different questions at the particular text that we are studying or devoting our prayer to, and seeing what learning we can have for our spiritual lives through that. Those of you who are in the small groups know that Rick Warren comes up with this crazy acronym to describe each of the phases that he suggests we go through when we use this approach. Now, Rick's approach is not the end-all and the be-all in terms of our approach to Scripture to probe the text. You might have your own way of doing this, and if it works for you, that is great. But this is a very practical approach that if you don't have something you're already doing to approach the scriptures in this way, this is a good starting point. So I commend it to you. But what I'd like to apply for us to this is what we in our Anglican background would call balance. There always has to be balance in our approach. The acronym that Rick uses this week is Space Pets. What a weird word. But when I hear the word Space Pets, my demented mind goes immediately to the Muppets. And there is a particular segment of the Muppets that is called Pigs in Space. I would like to share with you a little clip that talks about the balance I want to address today.
Pigs in Space!
When last we left the spaceship Swine Trek, it had developed a severe list.
Do something!
I can't correct it. There's something wrong with the gyroscopic thing. What do you call it, Dr. Strangeport?
I don't know, but if it isn't fixed, it'll sure louse up our billiard game tonight.
Right.
Maybe I can fix it.
You?
Yes. Fixed it.
But all you did was sit in Link's seat.
Maybe it took a woman's touch.
It's working, isn't it, gentlemen?
Yes, it is. Okay, let me back in my own seat here, then.
Excuse me. Oh, no!
It's doing it again.
Hey, first big piggy, come here, please.
Why?
Just come here.
All right. Watch it. What is it?
I think we found the answer.
Oh?
It's a coincidence, strange boy.
Oh, yeah? Then why don't you go back to your own seat?
Well, I think I will.
Hey, I get it now.
One word from you, Lord Lipson, you're dead.
As you wish, First Mate Fatso.
Fatso!
Get her away from me!
Balance. Let's look at these different bullet points of Space Pets with this idea of balance in mind in relation to the gospel we hear today. We go to the PowerPoint slides, the acronym Space Pets, and if we go to the next slide, the S stands for, is there a sin to confess? For me, the balance here comes with the me versus the others. In the cartoon we watched, certainly we know who the guilty party was there, but the tendency for Miss Piggy is always to blame somebody else. But for us with our scriptural reading, it's about me, not about other people. How often we can take out the scriptures and reading and we can say, oh, I need to show this to so-and-so because this is where they are really offending me. I can't tell you how many times where we stand at coffee hour in the back after we've completed a sermon and somebody will say to Wendy or William or to me, so-and-so should have heard that sermon today because they really fall short in that area. Guilty? It's about me. It's about looking at the scripture and where am I falling short. Sometimes it will jump off the page. Yep, God, you're right. This is an area where I really need help. So the first question we need to ask is, where are we on that continuum of the me versus others when I look at the scriptures with this gospel? Am I asking the same kind of questions Nicodemus is asking? Or do I want to project other people into it? Second one is P. Is there a promise to claim? And of all the lines of scripture in the entire Bible, this is the greatest promise that has ever been given. That we can have eternal life. But the question we need to ask in terms of balance, how much of that are we looking at in terms of our now as opposed to our after we die, our heaven eternal life? What Jesus is trying to get Nicodemus to understand is this born again life, this transformation is now. It's about living a way of sacrificial love in such a way that I experience life in a way I have never experienced it before. You might remember that movie that was popular with Robin Williams called Awakenings, where these patients who had that disease where they were basically asleep, and he found this medicine that brought them back, hence the name of the movie. And I remember that one scene where the doctor talks to him and he says, "You got to tell these people." What should I tell them? You got to tell them that they're alive, that they got to grab for all they can. And I pick up the newspaper and all I do is see people concentrating all this bad stuff and they're not really living. this, in a metaphorical way, is what Jesus is offering to Nicodemus today. How much in my life is that eternal life being experienced now, as opposed to just waiting till the day when I go to heaven? The next one, A, is there an attitude to change? Well, we talked about one of those attitudes last week with how I handle my anger. But this particular one for me is the difference between what God loves and what I love. In that infamous, famous line of Scripture, "For God so loved the world." How often, whether we say it or not, what we really mean when we say that line is, "For God so loved the church." Or, "For God so loved my church." Or, "For God so loved my way of doing things." It doesn't say that. It is important for us to always be checking ourselves against my vision of what church could be and should be, as opposed to what God's vision might be. We embark today on what I consider to be one of the most important things we do in this church. This connection we have with the Dominican Republic and our mission trips, and the benefit, not so much what it does for the people in the Dominican Republic, but what it does for us. These 18 people who give a week of their time, I guarantee you, you will come back with more than you could possibly give. So open your heart to what God's vision is this week. The next thing, C, is there a command to obey? You betcha. Don't love the darkness, love the light. This goes back to what we talked about a little bit last week. You know, there are things in our lives where we are just happy keeping them in the dark. It's like, you know, take the photos of me with the dim lights because I don't want all my wrinkles and my blemishes and everything else to show up. We tend with our life with God to do that sometimes. Let's keep that in the dark, God. We don't even want to go there. We don't want to touch that because I don't want to touch it, so I don't want you to touch it either. And yet, the light wants to break in. That's exactly what God wants to touch, because it is the deepest part of us that can be healed. Where are we with those deep issues in our heart in terms of darkness versus light? Next one. E, is there an example to follow? Nicodemus. What a great example to follow. Somebody who was willing to not let his knowledge stay static and his spiritual life stay static, but he was willing to risk and start asking questions because there was this dynamic growth pattern that he was on. My scripture scholars, when I studied St. John in the seminary, said that Nicodemus came to Jesus by night because John wanted to let people know that Nicodemus worked during the day, and so he had to do his scripture study on his own time, as a reminder to believers that they're going to have to do the same thing. But whether or not that's the reason, some people say he came to Jesus by night because he was a leading official in the Jewish community and he was at risk for his reputation of people seeing him go and talk to Jesus, this rebel rabbi. Well, whatever the real reason is, the point is the same, that Nicodemus is on a journey. And something has spurred within his heart, and he is willing to ask tough questions. And Jesus brings him along. We do not know for sure what happens with Nicodemus, but for certain we know that if he continued to ask those questions and was open to where God was leading him, I am sure his journey in terms of his spirituality continued to grow and grow and grow. We're wedged this day between two saints, who certainly give us that same example, St. Patrick. Do you know St. Patrick wasn't Irish? St. Patrick was British. Don't mean to burst your bubble, Irish people. He was British, and he was taken to Ireland as a slave to be a shepherd. And he gets back to his own country and somehow feels the call of God to go back to the country that enslaved him to preach the gospel. You talk about a dynamic journey. And then our own saint we celebrate tomorrow, Joseph. What a journey he was on. He had his idea of what he thought he knew about what the journey was. And God had other ideas. But he continued listening to God and the dreams, not forsaking Mary, going to Egypt with the Holy Family. Where are we with this idea that our knowledge is not static? What I believed and knew 20 years ago isn't what I believe and know now. God has continued to help me grow. Next one. P, is there a prayer to pray? See next slide. Now, I'm not copping out here, but you'll see the connection when we go ahead. So let's go to E. Is there an error to avoid? Words versus deeds. This comes across very clearly when we look at the 40 days this week. The whole idea of doing Bible study is transformation, not information. The idea is we want to learn the scripture so that we ourselves can be transformed and the way we live our lives is different, that we become transformed. And so it's not just about knowing everything that's in that series of books. It's about us being able to put it into practice. Again, what we talked a bit about last week. We can do all sorts of stuff and know all sorts of stuff, but if it's without love, it doesn't make much difference. As Paul says, I'm just a noisy gong. Where are we on the words versus deeds continuum? Next one. T, is there a truth to believe? God sent his son not to condemn the world, but to save the world. What's your viewpoint of God? Do you see the way that you are reacting and living your life is because you just don't want this God who's ready to condemn you to act on it? Or are we basing it all on the grace that God wants to give to us and does give up to us? A God who is just waiting and wanting to save us. It's like I had a teacher, and I bet along your own academic path you had a teacher like this. You get a test, 100 questions. You get 97 questions right. You get 3 wrong. You come back in for your conference with your teacher, and what does she want to talk about? The 3 you got wrong. Forgetting all about the 97 you got right. Is your viewpoint of God that God's concentrating on the 3% or the 97%? Well, what Jesus is telling Nicodemus and telling us, we have a God who concentrates on the 97%. We're going to work on this, but let's celebrate the relationship. Let's celebrate what's going right. I ran across the story of this car thief in California. Perhaps you saw this. It was on the news not too long ago, where this guy had stolen a car. And there was this huge public awareness campaign going because they wanted to find this guy. But it wasn't that they wanted necessarily just to get him for stealing the car, but the owner of the car had left crackers on the front seat that he had infused with rat poison because he had a problem with rats in his house. And so they wanted to catch this guy, not because he stole the car, but they didn't want him to die from the poison. And the thing is, the guy is running away because he thinks they're going to punish him, where the reason they are chasing him is because they want to save him. How do we do that with God? Are we running because we just don't want God to punish us? when here we have a God like the prodigal father who's running towards us to save us? Where are you on that continuum? Next one. S, is there something to praise God for? Yes, there is. The good news is we've been chosen. The bad news is we've been chosen. You know, it's like that whole thing with Augustine. God, come and save me, but not yet. You know, for us, it's more difficult because with our knowledge of God comes a responsibility. And so for us, it becomes important to cherish this gift, but know that to whom more is given, more is expected. This is a great gift we have been given. You wouldn't be here in some sense this morning without at least some awareness of that gift. There is a responsibility we have been given to live it out. In this regard, you know, when we are on a path to get closer to God, this is when temptation will come. And I know for some people this week, it was a difficult thing to hear the word devil. The devil is not somebody we need to be afraid of and run and hide, but the fact is, we are all tempted by the devil. And if you don't think you are tempted by the devil, then you've just made yourself better than Jesus. Because in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and a bunch of New Testament references, Jesus was driven out into the desert to be tempted by the devil. This is real. And why was Jesus tempted by the devil at that point in his life? Because he was on a decision path of committing to the mission that his God had for him. This is when temptation comes. It's when we are making decisions on the brink of moving forward in our spiritual journey. The devil doesn't care if you're just out there partying up St. Patrick's Day every night and not trying to do anything on your journey. It is when we are trying to make positive decisions and move forward. That's when the evil one will show up. So when you feel temptation, take it as a compliment. A very positive way of looking at it, because you're choosing God and the other side doesn't like that. So this continuum then, how do we look upon this? Good news, bad news, who knows, as the story went a couple weeks ago. But we choose God continually. So this whole space pets idea, it gives us a great way of looking at this particular scripture as well as many others, but the gift we have today is walking away knowing that this eternal life is offered to us now. Whether we're going away for spring break, whether we're going on a mission trip to the DR, whether we're staying right here at home, eternal life is offered to us now. May we grab it. Amen.